strength and to show success.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness and trauma-based mind control, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Now, my very special guest is Janice Barcello, and I'd like it if you would continue your traumatic birthing stories.
Thanks, Vinnie. I kind of want to give people a warning. I should have done this earlier, that the information I'm covering is really hard for people to hear. A lot of us have had trauma, and it's even harder for people that have children, because they realize after listening that they've exposed their children to stuff unwittingly. You know, we don't realize how mind-controlled we are, that we're willing to allow these things to happen to our children. But in any event, so I want to apologize ahead of time for how deep and heavy this is. Many of us have had abortions, and we had no idea of the spiritual ramifications of what we've done for ourselves and for our children. But we know that aborted human babies are ending up in vaccines. We do know that they're ending up in stamina-boosting pills. We know that companies like Sonomics are using aborted human fetal tissue for their flavor-enhancing research, so that every time you have a cup of Lipton tea, you have the residue of aborted human fetal tissue in your tea, because Lipton has hired Sonomics to do their flavor-enhancing research. And so there's extreme satanic influences.
It gives a whole new perspective on the term baby back ribs.
And, you know, what's that movie, Soylent Green?
Oh, yeah.
Where people were eating wafers made out of
people,
human bodies. It should not come as a surprise to us when we have Christians that are involved in the ritual ingestion of the blood and body parts of a sacrificed man, that the satanic energies have infiltrated every aspect of our lives, including our spiritual lives. So do you get what I'm saying there? That the Satanists are involved in the ingestion of human blood and body parts, and they do favor the ingestion of infant blood and body parts. And
this is a cup of my cannibalism, and it shall be passed on to you.
You see, what they're doing, at least in their very sick minds, I'm typing in down here a website you might want to check out called infants-blood.info. It's a website that's selling infants' blood. And so these people are trying to attain immortality and eternal youth. And they believe if they siphon off the life force of children, especially infants, that extends their youthfulness and gives them access to eternal life, particularly if they can sexually siphon off the life force of a child before the age of 6. And so just recently I learned, for example, that in Berlin, Germany, they gave sexual education books to 5-year-olds, books that are teaching 5-year-olds about how to reach orgasm, how to use condoms, and that show show images of people having sex in a children's book for a 5-year-old. So the corruption of children before the age of 6 is essential to the satanic agenda, and especially the corruption of their sexuality, which is why circumcision is so important. Because it's crossing the neurological wires, you know, wires that have been designed to experience love and bonding are crossed with betrayal and abandonment and extreme torture, you know, sexual torture. So the wires for violence are happening very early in life for American and Israeli men in particular. And we know that in the Jewish tradition of circumcision, the rabbis, after they cut the penis, are actually sucking the blood off the mutilated penis. So we have very deep satanic influences involved in our religious traditions, involved in our birthing practices, and involved in the way that we're raising our children and what we're doing to our children. You know, we're teaching them a religious dogma that's heavily satanic and getting them to act from it. So even eating meat, Vinny, you know, even eating an animal that's been imprisoned and tortured its whole life and then murdered in the most horrific ways. I mean, this is really heavy for our species to be participating in, but most don't give it a second thought because we've been raised to believe it's normal.
I was wondering if DNA has kind of like a program, and so you know, the old cannibalistic belief that if you say you eat the heart of your brave enemy, you'll gain part of his bravery, or if you eat the brains of a smart enemy, you'll gain some of his intelligence, that old belief structure. I wonder if there's actually some scientific bearing to that type of belief. You know, what if all of the animals that you eat, you absorb part of what has happened to them during the course of their life? So if you're eating animals that are perhaps living on a nice farm, being treated well their entire life, and being killed in a very humane way or whatever, will that be of some benefit to you versus eating an animal that's been in a cage, prodded with cattle prods all its life, and basically tortured and living an entire existence in fear, overcrowding, walking in its own feces, that kind of thing? I wonder if the meat would taste different, and sure enough it does, but is there a different effect to what it has on your mind and body? I wonder if it alters your DNA any, because I talked to, what was his name, David Holden. He's one of the premier naturopaths in New Zealand, and he's cited studies that have proven that you can actually change genetic defects and predispositions to diseases in your own DNA using diet. And you can, say, for example, eliminate propensity to cancer if you eat really, really well, and then you get rid of that that so-called junk DNA. I don't know what it really is. But then when you have children, those children will no longer have a propensity to those diseases that you got rid of with your own diet. And I found that intensely interesting.
I think you might be talking about the study of epigenetics, which, and I'm not sure, but epigenetics kind of says that we're born with a certain set of genes, but which of those genes actually express themselves depend on the environment that we're exposed to or that we're exposing ourselves to, in the case that you're talking about, diet. Yes, because we have some manner of control over what we consume. We can make choices about it to some extent. I mean, it's getting worse and worse because the GMOs are in everything at this point. But which genes express themselves depend on what we are exposed to. So if a child, let's say, brought up in the worst environment has a gene for genius, it's not likely, if he hasn't had an opportunity to be nourished and to be nurtured and to be loved and cared for properly, that gene is going to turn itself on. You understand what I'm saying? And counter to that, if we have a gene that says we are predisposed to cancer, if we have the best loving environment, you know, given every opportunity to receive all that an infant needs and a developing child needs, then the gene for cancer may not turn itself on. And certainly if we're attempting to eat a clean diet, which, as I said, is getting harder and harder, it would be less likely to turn itself on. Yeah. But I want to stress that from my perspective, there is no such thing as humane meat. because when an animal is being murdered, there's always going to be adrenaline and terror running through that animal's system at the time of death, because there's no gentle way to commit a murder. And I don't think it's good for us, no matter what. But I do understand that people believe that it is good for us, and I think that that's a function of the level of mind control and the satanic influence that we have been exposed to. In the United States, pigs are kept in crates where they can never roll over. The crates are so small. They're on one side their whole life so that they can't move, and they can get extremely fat so that there's an extra, pork thing that you can get from the pig. And they're raped by being artificially inseminated to produce babies. And they have their babies, and they can't even turn around to clean themselves up or to nurture their babies. And their babies are sometimes laying dead right outside their crates. I mean, I have images that are extremely painful to see and for me to think about, that people are interested to have bacon when what I know is happening to these animals so that people can have bacon. You know, it's very hard. I've been a vegetarian for almost 20 years, so I know that it's not necessary. And so I just want to say that. And I want to say that it's kind of similar to that we think that it's okay to kill our babies when they're in the womb. And some very horrific things are going on for our babies. Or that it's okay to circumcise our babies. You know, these things are not okay. Even if we believe that they are, they're not. And we have to understand. So I just want to also tell you about my daughter, Anastasia. I don't know if you could see her picture. Can you see that? This is my baby.
Yeah, yeah.
My daughter was born years after I aborted my son. And she was born, I was doing a home birth and attempting to do everything right to keep her from being traumatized, but she was born dead. And so 911 got called, and they rushed her to one hospital. They rushed me to another hospital because I was hemorrhaging. And basically, Vinny, they tortured her in a neonatal intensive care unit for 2 months. And I watched my baby being tortured by what they call the medical profession. And it was in that experience of seeing what they did to her, that memories of my own birth, you know, my psyche was getting ready to shatter, seriously. And I was having flashes of what happened to me at my own birth. And I had severe post-traumatic stress. She died, ultimately completely left, while they were cutting a hole in her throat, what they call a tracheotomy. And I found out years later that they do that on infants without anesthesia. They're operating on infants every single day in the United States without anesthesia and claiming that babies don't feel pain. So what they would do to her repeatedly in the time that she was under their care is paralyze her so that she couldn't move while they were doing all sorts of heavy duty, painful procedures on her. But they never, ever gave her anesthesia. And so 2 months and 2 days into the ritual torture, she finally, you know, couldn't withstand the abuse. And that experience, that's what they call shock, when so much trauma has built up over the course of 40 years of me being in a body. And it's built up even prior to that, because my grandmother had some and my mother had some, that I had so much, and everything just activates with the intensity of what happened with my daughter Anastasia to put my whole system into shock and to create a state of extreme post-traumatic stress from which I could not find a return for several years. You know, I moved to Maui, Hawaii. And I found somebody to help me heal my birth trauma, who ultimately taught me a system of subtle energy medicine where I could do self-care and help my nervous system calm down, help my terrified reptilian brain calm down, and begin the process of moving some of the trauma out of my body. But it's been 8 years, of daily self-care, and I still have residual post-traumatic responses to certain things, but it's gotten way better. So, and also, at some level, that amount of trauma has activated memories. It's like the memories that were held down in the reptilian system began to make their way up into the cortex, into the conscious mind. They couldn't be repressed anymore. My system didn't have the proper gates to keep it locked back. So everything started to come flooding. Yes. Thank God I had a tool when the memories start to come that I could help my nervous system sequence it through. Because otherwise, we'll go over the edge with the memories of what happened to us. So with that, I want to say that while my memories are coming, while I'm doing my healing, while I'm beginning to understand the nature of birth trauma and how trauma affects the human mind and the human body and the human soul, I find information about trauma-based mind control. And I'm like, will you look at this? Point for point, the techniques of trauma-based mind control are the same things that they're doing to babies during hospital birth. And I'm hoping when we come back from this break that we can talk about what's going on during hospital birth so people can get a real sense of what's happening to their babies and what happened to them.
All right. Janice Barcello is my guest. The website is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Janice Barcello, and her very awesome website is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. And one thing that I wanted to ask you as we were kind of getting into the final segments of the show was about how you actually got into doing your own little radio show there.
Let me tell everybody that David Icke is going to be my guest next week on Friday. I think it's May 23rd from 1 to 3 p.m. on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So I started doing my own radio show because I have a lot to talk about and I also have a lot to learn. And I was very interested to start talking more, to more people and also to have guests so that I can continue learning and, growing. I have my radio show airs on Thursday night from 8 to 10 normally. This week it's going to air also on Friday from 1 to 3, and I air every Sunday from noon to 2 p.m. on Unbound Radio. So I'm looking, maybe even to connect with American Freedom Radio and try to do a show through them as well, because I just love being on the radio. I love talking to people, and I love sharing this information. I think it's part of my healing process, to try to save more the babies that are coming in. My website is actually birthofanewearth.com, and then I have my blog, which is birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. So my website has a beautiful vision, for the future Earth, especially for Maui, Hawaii. I have a gorgeous vision of creating a settlement where people are coming to conceive and gestate and birth their babies consciously and gently and in love, maybe in the water with the help of dolphins that are on Maui and the whales. And I can really envision a beautiful future of bringing children in a very loving way. And I think it'll cause a whole new species to actually be born if we're creating children who are not traumatized and have all of their pristine capacities intact as a result of the way that they're being made. So that gets even more complicated if we begin to talk about human sexuality, because how we're conceiving our babies is part of the problem. How we're misusing our sexual energy is part of the problem. But let's talk about birth if you're up for that. Or are you up for what's going on in hospitals?
Sure. I thought we'd covered it, but if there's more, go for your life.
There's, you know, probably 98% of people in the United States are going to be going into hospitals to give birth to their children. I'm not sure what it's like in New Zealand, Vinny, but here people are really kind of robots, yeah? They don't think about it. So let's talk about what's
same
happened. What?
Same difference.
Same thing. Yeah.
And they call it a new world order for a reason. There's not a country that's exempt from this kind of crap.
We should point out first that our species is designed to give birth like every other species, which is in the natural world, in the original creation, where the sights and sounds and smells of the natural world will serve to activate parts of our brain and parts of our potential. And when we're born in an alternate environment, which is a technological setting, filled with alien-looking entities because they have masks and all you see are the eyes, you know, and these bright lights, and this, it can look like you're being abducted from the very first thing when you're coming out of the womb. And people have a lot of abduction experiences, you know, which might actually be hospital birth experiences. But that whole setting alters us. It alters the expression of our neurology and our brain potential and our potential for love. And we know that in the United States, 1 in 3 women is being induced, which means that 1 out of 3 babies are being forced to come before they are ready. In nature, the baby signals the mother's body that it's ready to be born, and the mother's body begins producing the hormones of birth. And it's a very, you know, when you steal that right of self-determination that the baby has, determination over its own body, over its own birth, and over its own destiny, that baby can be imprinted with a sense that it has no control over its own destiny, that something outside of itself is controlling its life, and that something is not loving. And they can mistake that for God, because there is something that feels like it's controlling, it's not loving, and so God, therefore, must not be loving. You know, it's a bad energy that's trying to control my life. So when babies are induced, women have a 75% chance that they're going to end up with a C-section, because the birth is not supposed to be happening then. And they're going to be given all kinds of drugs in order to try to force the baby to come, okay? Including a drug called Cytotec, which is an ulcer drug that they're using off-label during hospital birth to do what's called ripening the cervix. In other words, to get your cervix so soft that your baby will just fall out. But Cytotec is killing women. And it's killing babies because it's creating a situation where uteruses are rupturing. And there's something called amniotic fluid embolism, where the amniotic fluid leaks into the mother's bloodstream, goes directly to her heart, and she has a heart attack. She dies right there on the spot during birth. So this website's cropping up all over the internet for victims of Cytotec, because a lot of women are dying or being severely injured. In addition to Cytotec, women are going to be given a drug called Pitocin. It's called something else in the UK, but what it is synthetic oxytocin. Natural oxytocin is the hormone of human love, of human bonding. It's the hormone that allows us to bond with our babies, to produce, you know, enough milk right after birth, or what they call colostrum, to begin breastfeeding our babies. It's the hormone that creates useful contractions. And when you inject a birthing mother with synthetic oxytocin, her brain is tricked, and so it doesn't really produce much of the real thing. So that mother is going to have a very hard time bonding with her baby because there's no natural oxytocin or very little natural oxytocin being produced during the birth process. So bonding is going to be undermined. Breastfeeding is going to be undermined. And the contractions from Pitocin are not natural at all. In a natural birth, the contractions will come, you know, they'll peak for like 20 seconds and then they'll fade off and the body will rest. And then it'll happen again. It'll build. It'll peak for like 20 seconds. It'll fade off. The body will rest. But with Pitocin, they just come and come, one on top of another, on top of another. There's no rest for that laboring mother whatsoever. And so, and they're extremely intense. And so here she is. She's going to be like, please, give me the epidural. Give me some pain relief. I can't take it because the contractions are so unnatural. And if the mother is experiencing these intense contractions, baby is also experiencing a ridiculous amount of pain in the contractions because the uterus has effectively been turned into a trash compactor instead of a birth canal. And the trash compactor is not very useful in terms of helping that baby move through the birth canal. On the contrary, the medical people understand that Pitocin causes fetal distress. And in fact, some nurses are blogging about what's called PIT to distress, where doctors are giving them an order to give the mother so much Pitocin that the baby will go into distress on purpose so that they can move more quickly to a C-section. They're deliberately giving a lot of Pitocin to deliberately distress the baby so that they could say, oh, look, the baby's in distress. We're going to have to cut you open. So,
do they by chance get extra money if they perform a C-section versus doing a natural birth?
Lots of extra money.
And oh, also, so here's the agenda. Whoa. So here's what the doctor thinks he's doing. Let's give her some drug. It'll be good for her birth. Oh my God, the drug's not reacting properly. Let's perform a C-section, and conveniently we get a heck of a lot more money. And unbeknownst to us, there's an awful lot of trauma involved in this, and the person might die, but I still get paid, so it can't be that bad, really, can it?
You know, we should know, okay, that these drugs that are going to cause confusion and stress and delusion, very often if a mother's given Demerol, this is exactly what's done during trauma-based mind control. And if a mother is induced and she's going to be given Pitocin, they're going to be using something called an internal fetal heart monitor, very often, which means they're going to put their hand in the mother's laboring vagina and screw that fetal heart monitor into the baby's skull, into the soft spot of the baby's skull, so that every time there's a contraction, that probe is going to pull and tug at the baby's skull, causing extreme pain and causing babies to have wounds on their head and to grow up to be adults that do not want their heads touched because they have all of this wounding from the birth process. And they're also going to do something called the breaking of the waters. Okay, so there's this beautiful amniotic sac that's surrounding the baby while the baby's in the womb. It's like this oceanic, protective, watery sac that protects the baby from the intensity of contractions. It's like padding, yeah? But we're going to break that sac. So the baby has no protection, a thing screwed into its head, okay? Contractions that are off the charts, crushing the baby, causing the baby to go into fetal distress. And a mother that's begging...
Well, hold on a second. In America, isn't it like one of the highest rates of death at birth in the developed world?
We have 65 other countries that have a better chance for mothers and babies surviving than the United States. And many of them are third world countries. So the United States is one of the most dangerous places on the planet to give birth. And the reason for that is precisely because of what I'm talking about right now. The technological intervention in childbirth. And you know what, Vinny? Even if the baby's body gets born, you know how mothers are told after they've had horrific trauma through the birth and their babies are in the NICU unit, look, at least your baby got born. You have a healthy baby. Be happy. But just because the baby's body got born doesn't mean that that baby's soul has been born intact. On the contrary, very often the baby has disassociated. And what you have is a body that can be inhabited by entities that are not so filled with love. So disassociation is a massive problem happening. And we've just got the beginning, right? We're just talking about induction, okay? I want to say that with the Pitocin, the epidural is going to be like 85% of women in this country have an epidural. And an epidural is, they're going to stick a needle into your spine with an anesthetic in it that's supposed to numb out the bottom half of your body. And so once that epidural has happened, the mother can't feel anything from the waist down. So she can't help her baby get born at all. She can't stand up. I want to stress that birthing mothers need to stand up. They need to spiral their bodies, their hips, yeah, to open up their pelvis. They need to squat. They need to lift legs up to open up their pelvis. They need to move to help their baby get born. They need to feel their baby, so that they can support their baby in making its way through the birth canal. With an epidural, they're not going to be able to do diddly squat. They can't even roll over without other people coming and rolling them over to the other side of their body. They can't do anything. And so that baby's on its own, totally on its own, against unbelievable odds. Here we are leaving babies alone at the gate, with the fetal heart monitor stuck in the head, the Pitocin contractions, the amniotomy that broke the waters, all this stuff, right? Here, you do it by yourself, kid, because, you know, I have so much pain, I'm going to have my pain relief without even thinking about what this poor baby's going through.
This is about right. Have you noticed society has become a lot more selfish and we're far more concerned about ourselves than we are about those we're responsible for? You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Janice Barcello is my guest. Birthofanewearth.com and birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show from which there is no escape. My very special guest is Janice Barcello. Websites are birthofanewearth.com and birthofanewearth.blogspot.com. And I was wondering where you'd like to round off this, because we've covered the trauma at birth, how you're there's 65 countries where you're more likely to survive birth in a hospital than the United States.
Not necessarily in a hospital, but you're more likely to survive birth, Yeah.
Like, if you're in the woods somewhere, you're probably more likely to survive than you would if you were in a United States hospital with $10 million of machinery around you, including the machine that goes bing.
Yes, exactly. So let me just say a couple more things before the show ends. I want to sort of give people a heads up that one thing you want to be very careful about if you're going to go to a hospital is never to let them take your baby's placenta. One of the things that they're doing is the clamping and cutting of the umbilical cord immediately after birth. And this is precisely so that they can harness the umbilical cord blood. They're never going to tell you this, but I know this is what they're doing because there's no medical benefit at all to clamping and cutting the umbilical cord immediately after birth. And on the contrary, it's very detrimental to the well-being of the infant. So we don't want them to get our baby's cord blood, and we don't want them to get our baby's placenta, because as I said earlier, there are people engaged in the ritual ingestion of human blood and body parts, and they prefer the blood and body parts of infants. So if you know that there's people that want to harness the soul of your infants, literally their life force, then it's our job as parents to protect our children and to not let the dark forces get their hands on it. And so I often tell the story about the fathers in Bali who have very strict protocols that they have to follow to protect their baby's placenta, because they understand if the wrong people get their hands on it, that their children can be influenced by negative spirits throughout their lives. So you want to protect your baby's placenta. You don't want to let them cut the cord until the cord has turned white, which means that the baby has received all of its blood. If that cord is red, blue, purple, if there's any sign of blood still in that cord, that means the baby's oxygen is there, still needs to get to the baby. One third of the baby's blood supply is there, it needs to get to the baby. Okay, all the stem cells need to get to the baby, all the nutrients that are going to support the immune system and other things that are going to help the lungs and the nervous system. We want the baby to receive all of its stuff. Okay, so don't let them, and this is especially important for fathers because they're manipulating fathers, you know, saying, here, you cut the baby's cord. You initiate your baby into the cult, yeah, into this very dark cult. So parents, beware. And beware that the attempt to break the bonds between mother and baby and between father and baby and father and mother are very extensive. And so it's important when your baby is born that you make immediate eye contact. This is for mothers and fathers with your baby, because the eyes are a means by which the brain activates and the neurochemicals of love will flood the system, okay? If you can't make eye contact with your baby, then there's going to be some brain dysfunction and a breakdown in the bond, okay? So it's important to make eye contact, but what they're doing is they're putting a bunch of poison gunk, right, burning gunk in the baby's eyes to prevent the baby from seeing. And, you know, it causes the baby's eyes to turn all red, and the baby can't see. It's struggling, you know, to see where are its parents. What is all this nightmarish environment it's in? And this will negatively influence the baby's brain and also the baby's ability to bond with its parents. So we don't want the poison, erythromycin, whatever they want to call it, ointment in the baby's eyes, okay? And we don't want to let them wrap the baby in a blanket, what they call swaddling, in a neurotoxic blanket filled with chemicals, right? We don't want the baby wrapped in a blanket so tight that it can't move. We want the baby skin to skin, because it's in the skin to skin contact that the neurobiology of love can activate. Eye contact, skin-to-skin contact, smelling the baby, a mother smelling a baby. You know, in nature, if a bird gives birth and the scent of that baby bird is off, right, the mother will reject the baby. Same thing with us. We have to be able to smell our children, our newly born infants. Infants produce pheromones from their head that create love, literally. Like oxytocin is coming out of the baby's head. It's like a dog's head, right? Dogs produce all of these pheromones that pump out love. We can feel it as soon as we're near a dog. Same thing with the baby's head. You smell a baby's head and love happens. Okay, so what do? They put a hat on the baby's head. They wrap the baby in the blanket. They put the poison gunk in the baby's eyes. They swaddle the baby, meaning the baby's going to go into parasympathetic shock because swaddling is an insult. It's an affront to a free baby that's able to move and express itself immediately after birth. So all of these things are being done deliberately to alter the physiology of birth, to alter the neurobiology of love, to undermine bonding. You see, so in a natural birth, your baby comes out, mom or dad catch the baby, pick up baby, look in baby's eyes, baby's on mother's chest, or if mother can't be there for whatever reason, she's in a C-section, on dad's chest, skin to skin, love the baby, touch the baby, talk to the baby, smell the baby. All of these senses, right, are essential for the well-being of love and for the bonding. Do not let them take your baby over to a table where they're going to do all sorts of mean-spirited protocols, like put the gunk in the eyes, stick a neurotoxic vaccine into the baby's bloodstream, right? Do a vitamin K shot that the baby's body has no way to deal with. It's synthetic vitamin K. If you want to give your baby vitamin K, eat a lot of dark green leafy vegetables before birth so that it's in your breast milk, mom, and nurse your baby so your baby will have everything that it needs. Do not let them inject your baby with neurotoxic chemicals that are designed specifically to make the body inhospitable to the soul. And this is a very small amount of information I'm giving you tonight, Vinny, and to your listeners, so that they can begin to understand the severity of what's happening, even with the epidural. You know, the epidural tricks the mother's brain so that instead of the mother's body producing the hormones of well-being, of joy, of love, of pleasure, birth should be pleasurable, right? Now we have the epidural, so she feels nothing, and the brain says, oh, I guess I don't need to produce the natural opiates of birth because there's nothing happening here. But baby needs those opiates too, even if the mother's feeling no pain. If the opiates are not present, baby's going to be feeling more pain. And baby's already feeling pain from the Pitocin and the fetal heart monitor and the amniotomy. And, you know, so we don't want baby to be feeling more pain from a lack of natural opiates at birth. But that's what the epidural does, you see. So next time they're telling you to sign that epidural consent form, you ask them, you know, how come it doesn't say anything here about the fact that my baby's going to be feeling more pain because I'm not going to be producing the natural opiates of birth? How can I be signing a consent form with information that's not even there?
Well, I think that violates the whole principle of informed consent, doesn't it? And people exactly. Just consent to whatever a doctor says because, oh, they're an authority figure and they're in a fiduciary level of responsibility. Oh, I'm supposed to trust them because they're skilled, because they spent 7 years sleep deprived amongst a whole bunch of other people who have been born with a silver spoon in their hand and having very little consequence for their actions whenever they kill people on the table, which happens all the time. Statistically speaking, in New Zealand, proper medical treatments plus mishaps are the third leading cause of death. considering that medical mishaps and things of that nature are also grossly underreported, we could make a quite compelling argument that the medical system is the number one killer. And if you don't want to die, stay away from the people who tell you they're trying to keep you alive and healthy.
And also begin to understand that they have been subjected to a severe form of mind control. The sleep deprivation, the lack of ability to even get food because they're so bogged down with stuff, the torture that they have to do on infants and animals as part of their medical training is enough to create disassociation.
And the endless repetition of useless facts and figures that happen to be incorrect, and about the 25 minutes of nutritional information that they're right. supposed to ingest during the 7 years of their study, which would make all of the rest of the years of study basically obsolete. All right, Janice Barcello. Has been my guest. Birth of a New Earth.com. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Bear in mind, we're listener supported. So if you can donate or subscribe to me, that would be very nice. We'll see you again sometime.